Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's a Friday, and you know a Friday can't go by without talking to our friend from Fanatic Sportsbook, excuse me. Also MLB Network and NBA TV. It's Ariel Epstein. And Ariel, before we get to your best bets, this AL East looks like a division that nobody wants to win. The Red Sox are only 5.5 back of both the Orioles and Yankees. Neither one playing good baseball right now.
No, and thanks for having me on, guys. Happy Friday. The AL East is wide open for the taking. I'm concerned for all these teams in the division because of pitching. The Yankees just don't have a solid number two. The O's, Grayson Rodriguez goes down. The Red Sox, I don't trust anybody. Plus, their half their rotation's pretty young in Boston. But I think the American League's just wide open for the taking in general. You've got a much stronger AL West. You have a stronger AL Central. The AL East, I mean, listen, if I'm like more nervous for anyone, it's the AL Central right now.
Well, Ariel, let's get to your best bets. The Braves and Rockies, first pitch at 8:40. Two teams really struggling coming in, but one of your best bets includes Tanner Gordon, the Rockies starting pitcher.
I love this play tonight for the Rockies righty Tanner Gordon to go over 3.5 strikeouts. So Gordon hasn't faced a high K rate team yet this year. Atlanta is a high K rate team. But even in the games that Gordon faced these other lower K rate teams, he's had at least 4 strikeouts in 3 of 4 starts. Gordon throws strikes, and that's the thing you got to love about him. His chase rate, it would be 3rd in Major League Baseball at just over 35% if he qualified. Of course, he's only had 4 starts. Gordon was also drafted by the Braves in 2019. He was traded to Colorado from Atlanta last July. So there's a little bit of a revenge spot here, like, hey, this is what you lost after you drafted me. But the Braves are averaging just over 5 strikeouts a game against righty starters. And since the All-Star break, that's 18 games, the Braves are now averaging just over 6 strikeouts a game against righty starters. With Gordon being a strikeout type of pitcher, you got to go here with the over 3.5 Ks.
Yeah, Bravos are struggling. The Phillies were struggling. They're now pretty hot. Had a nice series against the Dodgers. They travel to Arizona where the Diamondbacks look like they're picking up where they left off last October. October, September, and August. And they're playing great ball out west. How do you handicap this one?
I call this a fishy line. So there's reverse line movement, which means the line's moving in favor of the team that the public's not on. So the public's heavily backing Philly. Of course, it's their ace, Zach Wheeler, on the mound. However, the line moved 20 cents in favor of Arizona. So that gets me thinking, okay, if the public loves Philly today, but the Sharps are moving the line towards Arizona, why? Well, Wheeler doesn't pitch as well on the road. But aside for that, I saw that the Phillies faced the Dodgers prior to facing Arizona yesterday. I go, oh, bullpen usage. That probably is pretty bad for Philly right now. It is. Pretty much every reliever for Philadelphia is in the red because they just faced the Dodgers and now they get the D-backs. Whereas Arizona's bullpen's much more rested. Paul Sewald seems to be returning back to his old self, the Arizona closer. 3 straight scoreless outings. And Ryan Nelson, who's starting for Arizona, hasn't been pitching so bad since the beginning of July. He's 3-0, 2.98 ERA, has allowed 1 home run since the beginning of July. I'll take a shot here on the home dog.
Talking to Ariel Epstein, it's Inside Access here on the Fan. Ariel, we got the Mets and the Mariners tonight. Jose Quintana on the mound for the Mets. What are you looking at here?
I'm looking at Quintana to go over 4.5 Ks. So Quintana, in his last 10 starts, 2.59 ERA, he's 5-2. I was like, oh, what is Quintana doing better recently in the last month than he did previously? He's been throwing the curveball more. And Quintana is getting a lot more swing and miss on the curve, which is why in his last four outings against high K rate teams, he's had at least five strikeouts. So now Seattle is on pace, according to my MLB researchers at MLB Network. Seattle is on pace to have the highest strikeout rate in baseball history. Against lefties this year, Seattle's averaging just under six strikeouts a game. And against the just breaking balls in general, against any breaking balls, they're hitting 194 and have the second highest strikeout rate. And if Quintana's going to throw that curve a lot more, then you're going to see Seattle striking out more like they do per usual. So I'm going to take the over 4.5 Ks on Quintana.
Before we let you go, Ariel, we're all old enough to remember when your Baltimore Ravens were a winning and covering machine in the preseason.
Yes.
The streak is now over, and we will always lament that. But will you dabble at all in Ravens fake football here in the next couple weeks?
Oh, guys, I can't do it. I just feel like the magic is gone.
Yeah.
But you know what? I'm hopeful, because if they have a really bad preseason, maybe they'll actually make it to the Super Bowl this year.
Yeah.
I also saw that majority of action on Fanatic Sportsbook is on under 11.5 wins on the Ravens, which, guys, this is great. The public is finally off of us. You never want to be on the side of the public, unless, of course, you're Tom Brady, then everyone bets you and you still win. But normally, when you're on the side of the public, you lose. And that's what's been happening to the Ravens the last couple of years. I'm ready for everyone to come off of us so that the Ravens can just start being underdogs again. And then that's when everyone's like, oh, wow, pleasantly surprised.
Ariel Epstein, let the people know where they can find you.
Fanatic Sportsbook, MLB Network, NBA TV, and on social media at Ariel Epstein.
Ariel, you're the best. Have yourself a great weekend. We'll talk next week.
Have a great weekend, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks. Ariel Epstein.
It's Best Bets with Beltway Ben Hall on 105.7 The Fan.
Yes, sir.
Lay
Beltway
hammer.
Ben's ready.
Lay the hammer, Ben.
Ben's ready.
I was tossing to him. He's hit that
he's
button.
He's on it.
Yeah.
Sorry to cut you off.
No.
That's okay.
No, this is what we want.
I got four plays in the MLB today. Start O's money line and Gunner to get a base hit. He's 5-for-10 against Littell. The Orioles have a ton of success against Littell in the past. Eflin's given them two quality starts. Mm-hmm. Orioles got to win this series. They've been better on the road this year. Obviously, they go into Toronto and do whatever they did, but they've been also good against teams above 500. I think they handle business here, and I think Gunner picks up a base hit. He's got three straight hitless games. Next is Freddie Freeman, over 1.5 hits, runs, and RBIs. 6-for-12 with two RBIs against Mitch Keller in his career. He's got a slash line of 315, 423, 531 against right-handed pitching this year. Mitch Keller's got close to a 4 ERA on the road, and the Dodgers need Freddie Freeman to heat up. He's still getting hits in every game, but it's more calm, more one-hit games. They need some RBIs. They need guys on in front of him, but I like that. Third play, Jameson Taillon, over 4.5 strikeouts at plus 108. In the last month, the White Sox have a 26% K rate against right-handed pitching, which is the third highest in the MLB. They might be the worst baseball team of all time right now. Taillon's been all over the place with strikeouts this season, but he's gone under this total in four straight after going over it in six of his last seven starts before that. So he's due for a big strikeout game. And he's more of a veteran arm. So at this point in the season, you're starting to see some younger guys with pitch count. You're not going to have to worry about that with Taillon. And then the final play in the Mets game, Justin Turner, over 1.5 hits, runs, and RBIs. Minus 110. Jose Quintana's had big struggles on the road this year. Opposing batters are batting 260 against him, which is 30 points higher than at Citi Field. Justin Turner's hitting 313 with three RBIs and 16 at-bats against Quintana. 270, 329, 405 slash line against left-handed pitching for Turner, who's been much better against left-handed pitching this year. And then he's hitless in three of his last four games. And the Mariners are one of the worst hitting teams in a pennant race that we've ever seen. So they need his bat to heat up pretty badly.
Anything you're looking at, Jason?
I got a few. I don't know if they're going to get this game in Washington today, but if they do, you can get the Angels on the money line. Like, they've got Jose Siriano going, who's been really, really good for them. I love what I'm seeing at Logan Ohapi and Zach Neto lately. Like, they actually have a lineup there, a top half of the lineup with the Angels. Mitchell Parker, the lefty for the Nats, who for the first half of the year. I'm like, why is he not getting crushed? He's getting crushed now. He's got a 5.79 ERA in his last seven starts. And the Angels are, what, 12 below for the season? But they're 500 against lefties. I like the Angels here. Nats are not scoring any runs. I like the Padres, who are on a 14-2 tear on the run line against Miami tonight. Miami's 9-31 against lefty starters. Martin Perez had a pretty good debut for the Padres. And I also like the Royals tonight on the money line against the Cardinals.
No preseason football?
No, I haven't dabbled in any.
No? Mm-hmm. He did wow, in the Hall of Fame game when you were out. He did in the Hall of Fame game.
Screwed my Mother Nature once. Ben?
Ben, stop hitting the button. You're cutting off your own mic.
I'm used to having to hold the button to talk to him.
I don't know what John Harbaugh in the preseason at plus money tonight.
Are you doing it? I mean, it's
pushing me.
Play.
It's not an official play. John Harbaugh in the preseason at plus money. We haven't been here in forever.
Hey, Eagles might play their starters.
But it's only one series. And Owen Wright's going to be toting the football the whole second half. You know how good he's been at camp.
He has been good at camp. Coming up next, we go from Beltway Ben to Tebow. To T-Bone time. Almost T-Bow time. Yeah, T-Bone times. TMI with TIM. And what you got?
Well, we're doing a six-pack at the top of the hour with six Ravens you guys are most interested, intrigued to see. Well, I'll give you some names and really some position battles that I'm looking for tonight and, quite frankly, the following two preseason games. That's next on Inside Access.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's T-Bone time, TMI with TIM, and the floor is yours.
It's the most wonderful time of the year. Preseason football is back.
Summer's over, Jason.
Yeah, you get all excited, and then you watch a couple of series tonight, and there's three fumbles lost and just sloppy play, and then you remember, oh, yeah, preseason football kind of sucks. But there's still storylines, and this is still a big time for a lot of people on this roster trying to make the 53-man roster come cut down time. And just, you know, some guys that I'm keeping an eye on or just some competitions. The third running back role, I mean, Rasheen Ali, Owen Wright, who's going to pop tonight? We know Derrick Henry's not going to play. I mean, do we see much, if any, of a Justice Hill?
I wouldn't think so.
I can't imagine, because we know what he is at this point. I mean, I've been talking offensive line and beating that drum for weeks and weeks and weeks now. I mean, that's the number one thing that I'm looking for tonight. And it is kind of interesting when we had Jeff Zrebeck on 45 minutes ago, and he mentioned, don't be surprised, maybe not tonight, but don't be surprised if Ronnie Stanley plays in the preseason. And I never really thought about that, but I mean, the rationale makes sense. And it's something that, quite frankly, we haven't really talked about on the show. The fact that the past couple of years, I mean, Ronnie would practice and then he wouldn't, and then he practiced a couple days and then he
Well, 5 o'clock, I mean, we were going to talk about
it. I mean, he's hit the post, you know, every day during practice.
He's a different
guy. But at 5, we are. I mean, it was 5:30. Then it got moved to 5 for Mark Topkin. But we are talking about veterans we think need to play in the preseason. He was on my list.
He was on your list?
He was on my list.
Okay.
Well, I was glad to get that affirmation from Jeff Zrebeck because he was already on my list.
Yeah.
And then, you know, as we have been talking about Roger Rosengarten, what is he going to look like in his first game action preseason wise, and who's going to win the job? Andrew Voorhees, this is his first football game in 18 months. How's Ben Cleveland going to look like snapping the football? What's Josh Jones going to look like, probably starting tonight at left tackle?
I would think so.
We presume. What is that going to look like? Edge rotation. I mean, I doubt Adisa Isaac plays tonight.
He just came back.
He hasn't practiced much, but I'm with Jeff as well. I mean, in terms of David Ajabo, buddy, you're playing the bulk of the snaps tonight, and you should be playing the bulk of the snaps this entire preseason. Can we see something out of you? Because this time last year, I mean, every single replay you're seeing, he's failing to set the edge. Some guys are getting on the outside because of that. What kind of pass rush does he provide? Tavius Robinson, I mean, he got some run last year as a rookie. Yeah. You know, what's he looking like?
Rotational piece.
Yeah, exactly. What's he looking like in year two? I would imagine that Trenton Simpson's going to get a decent amount of run. I mean, he's been one of the hot names all offseason long, even going back to when Patrick Queen signed with the Steelers, and just twitched up guy who can run. Had a really good week 18 against the Steelers last year. What is that going to look like? Back of the depth chart in terms of receiver, where Zay, Bateman, Aguilar, Tez Walker, those guys are all locks, but the rest of those guys, and really Tez Walker too, being a rookie, what does he look like? Tylan Wallace, Deontay Hardy, I mean, he just got back at practice, but you want to see him with these new kickoffs tonight, and heck, really just the kickoff in general tonight is going to be of intrigue for everybody. And quarterback, I mean, if Josh Johnson struggles tonight, I mean, we'll be talking about that a lot next week, guys. And Monday with Ultimate Football Guy. Love to hear what he thinks.
Big show Monday.
Special show Monday.
A one of one in the IA Pantheon. 4 hours with Ultimate Football Guy, Bobby DePaul, from the ocean, hard from down the ocean.
Yep, we're going to be down there.
Angler by the sea.
Angler by the sea.
And then, I mean, you got to throw in, of course, the first-round pick, Nate Wiggins. What does he look like out there?
Oh, also absolutely. He's going to get some run.
Oh, a ton of run. And really just the cornerback depth in general. I mean, Jalen Armour-Davis, he's been popping off at training camp. How is that going to translate to games? Can he stack some games in terms of staying healthy? Because that has been a big-time issue for him in his NFL career.
How much are you going to be paying attention to the actual kickoffs tonight?
Well, I was just going to say, like, how could you normally not? They would keep Tucker on ice a little bit, but even if he's not taking every field goal attempt, I would think you'd want him if you are going to show your hand a little bit, or even just to get used to how you're going to pooch it, or if you're going to skim it, or if you're going to, right, if you're going to directional it, I would think he would take every kickoff.
This game doesn't matter, so you should explore all of those options in terms
Except
of,
they don't want to show their hand. I'm talking from a return aspect, and they want to keep something back.
And from a kickoff aspect, strategy.
Too. Yeah. But I would think you would just get him used to doing it.
Absolutely.
Because it's different.
Orioles lineup is out. Would you like to hear it?
Please. Always.
Colton Cowser leading off in left field. Anthony Santander back in right field batting second. Gunnar Henderson batting third at shortstop. Ryan O'Hearn's the first baseman batting fourth. Eloy Jimenez is your DH batting fifth. Jackson Holiday batting sixth at second base.
Inching up.
Cedric Mullins at the center fielder batting seventh. Ramon Urias at third base batting eighth. And James McCann, your catcher, batting ninth.
So day off for Adley.
No Mountcastle.
Mayo. That's fine. Give me the lefty at first base anyway against this righty. You've got the right three in the outfield. Fast track. You're hoping ground balls, right?
Yes.
So I get Ramon. Yeah, I mean, tis what it is.
Giving Adley a day off, Mountcastle out. Putting O'Hearn at first, like we said. Like, we touched on this in the first hour.
Will Eloy hit a ball in the air today?
Will he keep getting base hits?
I was about to say, if he keeps getting base hits, I don't care at this rate.
Not
at this 70% rate.
Something tells me Jason will be betting against Eloy Jimenez.
Nah. I'm not betting against him.
You're going to bet? Well, you can. I know I can.
Thank you for permission. But
I mean the sportsbook allows it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I don't mean I'm giving you permission. Right. I mean it's available.
I'm giving you permission.
I'm not going there, but I mean if ever there was a candidate for regression.
Ben likes him. Ben's big on Eloy. Ben and I both like him, like the trade at the
time. He's all yours.
I'm Ben. I'm with you on Eloy.
Ben, I hate to say
it. C&I ground balls all over the place.
If Jimenez does regress, then you're going to get Jason in the group chat. That's your guy.
Yeah.
That's your guy, Ben.
Yeah, with some adjectives.
Yes. Oh.
With some adjectives. Hey, Orioles and Rays start a three-game series tonight. Yes, it is. Tender lock and four. Rock Kabatko covers the O's for Mass, and he's down there in St. Pete, and he joins us next. Orioles and Rays tonight, 6:50. Baltimore baseball tonight. The Bone and Jim Hunter tonight at 6. And let's head down to St. Pete now. Orioles, again, taking on the Rays, trying to get off the schneid, losing 2-3 from the Blue Jays. Rock Kabatko covers the O's for Masson, and he joins us now. And Rock, thank you as always for joining us. So lineup just came out. Interesting, I guess, what, three of the last four, no Kobe Mayo. Do you think it's the back-to-back domes? They want to keep him off the fast tracks on defense?
By the way, what is the schneid?
Schneid. It's
get off the schneid.
It's an Italian word that I learned growing up.
So you're allowed to say it on the air?
Yes.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
It isn't a dirty word.
No.
Chris Berman used to say it all the time.
He did.
He did. Yeah. He actually did. I don't know. I wasn't in Toronto, but I was checking the lineups and trying to keep up. And it is interesting that he's not getting that we're playing you every day and doing the evaluation kind of treatment here. And I don't know how much of that is what we've seen at the plate, some difficulties a little bit in the field. You're right, this turf, obviously talk to Brandon Hyde about it later, but I just assumed that when he came up, and I think I probably wrote, because I've been wrong before, he didn't come up here to sit, and he's doing a little bit of sitting. So, and obviously Urias, former Gold Glove winner, it would be an upgrade defensively. He was actually hitting pretty well there for a while, too, and all of a sudden it looked like he was just going to be glued to the bench. But, yeah, we'll check on that later, but it's kind of interesting that Mayo is not playing every single day since they brought him up here.
I do wonder, too, now, Rock, and we talked about this at the opening of the show, if they've got to kind of go defense above all else, right? Like, the hitting has been scattershot. They've obviously lost a ton of impact arms going back to Batista a year ago. Like, we got to at least catch the ball, and that means our best right fielders probably got to play right field most of the time, and on it goes. I'm kind of wondering if we're reaching that point with it now more of a sprint than a marathon.
Yeah, it was interesting. We saw O'Hearn in left field, we've seen him in right, and now we actually have three outfielders in the outfield. And Mullen just sat a little bit, and Hyde loves his defense in center, but you probably do reach that point where if nothing else, you got to help your pitching staff out. Maybe you do go in that direction. But then there are times when you do that, and you might be sacrificing a little bit of offense. So there have been issues in pretty much every area, which you can expect when a team's struggling. Nothing bigger than the injuries, of course. But there are times where they just flat out aren't hitting, or they're not getting the pitching, whether it's a short start or the relief late inning or middle relief has been weak. And sometimes they're not making plays in the field. And yet here they are still tied for first place.
Yeah.
I mean, is there a dominant team in baseball this year?
No.
It's pretty interesting. This is like the right year, I guess, to hit these kind of streaks because it's really hard to knock them out of first place.
Rock, it was another rough start for Dean Kramer last night. And after April last year, he was really, really solid for them. Not the case this season. What's been off about Kramer for you?
Yeah, I mean, some of it has been sometimes you just pitch a little bit of bad luck. He's had some starts like that. And other times it's just, you make one or two pitches where you leave a ball out over the plate or an untimely walk. And it just seemed like they kept putting guys on base ahead of Vladimir Guerrero, which, by the way, I do not recommend doing.
Yeah.
That was an issue. So, it could be a combination of things there, but it really is magnified because, this isn't somebody we're talking about, just your fourth or fifth starter. And in the postseason, you've got these three big time arms and then you're okay. Like, they need him to really step up now, especially while Grayson Rodriguez is out. We don't know for how long, and all the other injuries that we've already talked about. There's a little more pressure now on Kramer to step up, and he has not really been able to do that. He's not getting deep into games. And like I said, there's just these outings where there's a couple bad pitches made, and he gets burned. Or like I said, you walk a guy ahead of a guy, and he certainly can't do that. They're pitching from behind too much, and he's not the only one. Guys come in and it's immediately 3-0, 3-1. So I guess it's been a combination of things, but it just seems to stand out more right now because they really do need him to be that version of Dean Kramer we've seen, when he's really, really good. They need that, right now.
We're talking to Rock Kabatko. It's Inside Access here on The Fan. Rock, Craig Kimbrell, how do you see them blending him back in. I guess Dominguez is the closer for now, but Kimbrel eventually will get a shot again?
I would think, and I'm a little surprised that has happened already. Now, I don't know, you know, how many save opportunities there have necessarily been, but yeah, I thought by now, this most recent time, I thought, well, he's going to be that guy because, you know, again, they've seen him when he's been really good. It wasn't that long ago we were talking about all-star snub, and then the streak happened again. But once he got out of that last one, he was really good. So I'm kind of surprised that it hasn't happened yet. And I do think eventually he gets another opportunity here. I think, you know, when you get a guy like Dominguez, it was more for, like, protection in case Kimbrel struggled and have, like, a big arm for, you know, seventh, eighth inning setup. So I assume Kimbrel's going to get that shot again. I don't think they've given up on him. I'm just surprised that hasn't happened by now.
Does something seem a little off with Ryan Mountcastle? I just wonder if the trade rumors and him not having his best season and starting to see some of the guys he came up with either almost traded or traded, he's platooning more than before. It just, I don't know. Maybe it's just me, but he doesn't seem maybe to be as much a part of this as before.
He also only has two homers since the end of June.
Right, and I mean, he's been streaking in the past. That's the one thing that's kind of eluded him, is that consistent, you know, productive stretch that he has. But yeah, more so now. But you know, who knows? I'm sure he would never say that was the reason, you know, that he was ever distracted. But I mean, he knew that, you know, he can't avoid it. He knew his name was out there, and you know, there was talk that he could go, and he certainly didn't want to. And I'm sure that was a sense of relief. But I'm not sure if that really was something that distracted him that much. He's just in one of those stretches again. Sometimes, again, it's tough luck. How many times have we seen him hit a ball in the fence at Camden Yards and then tilt his head back to the rounds first base? That's like his patented move right there. But, you know, he's definitely, you know, due to get on another tear, and we see that. He just can be very streaky. And, you know, I don't know how much that really affected him or for something else, but he's definitely not a guy that's right in the lineup every night anymore.
Jackson Holliday creeping up the lineup, Rock, batting six tonight. Didn't have a hit last night, but extended his RBI streak to six straight games. Defensively, you still see some lapses there, but the bat has been really, really big for this team.
Yeah, that's a guy you do right in every day, by the way. There's no doubt. And it should be against left. It should be against right. And I know, you know, they play matchups so much that you may get pinch hit for again against a lefty. But when you have a hot bat like that, I just leave him out there. And I did notice he is creeping up. He's not hitting ninth anymore. And of course, it's a different lineup with McCann in it tonight. But, you know, he's earned a chance to move up. And he just looks so much more comfortable than he did before. And I'm sure it helped to get that experience, even though it was a 2-for-34, to have already been up. And he just is able to be a player now. It's not a huge deal. He's not surrounded by media on the road or, you know, at home. It's not like there's a huge media scrum every time he walks into a room. I think it's a little more – he handled it really well. He's mature beyond his years, but I think it's a little easier for him right now to just go out and play, stay behind the ball. He's not as – like Brandon said, he's not as kind of jumpy in the box right now. And you know, talent plays. He was too good to not succeed. This is going to happen. And it's amazing that it happened at this age. But he's just being Jackson Holliday, and I think that's a lot more comfortable for him than being the 1-1 20-year-old who's Matt Holliday's son. He's just a very good ball player.
Rock, before I let you go, you brought up the matchup kind of thing that they like to do. You weren't in Toronto, but were you surprised by the Mayo for Kowser in the eighth the other night?
Only because Kowser's been swinging about so well and it's been the lineup pretty much every night. So it surprised me a little bit. But again, we see the pinch hitting and the matchups all the time, and it's, you know, it's not like Brandon's going rogue. I mean, this is what they talk about. They plan it. They've got all the data to support it. But, yeah, I was a little surprised, first of all, just that Kowser came out, but also that Mayo was chosen in that spot so early on in his tenure in the majors and still trying to get that first hit. But Brandon mentioned it's a power bat. He was just hoping that matchup with one swing would be impactful, and it wasn't. But, you know, more times than not, it seems like these decisions are working. But that one still, yeah. And especially if it became the same ending that they pinched it for Holliday, I think that magnified it even more.
Rock Abatko covers the O's for Mass. And Rock, great as always, man. Thank you so much for your time. Enjoy Florida.
Hey, I meant to ask this before. Is there any truth to the rumor that those dirty Canadians captured Steve Molesky?
Yeah, you
got
see
kidnapped.
That? Yeah.
I think he got kidnapped.
Yeah. They're not letting him out.
He loves Toronto. I'm not sure he wants to leave, let's be honest.
I heard it was the same guys who threw that beer at Kim in the playoff game.
Wow, yeah.
They've got Molesky.
Oh, that is, That is an old school reference. Steve would have caught it and chugged it.
Thanks, Rob.
All right, guys.
See ya. Coming up next, you have the
damn hosers.
If you're not aware, Steve has been saying on social media that Air Canada won't respond to
they
him.
They want him to stay there.
Yeah, he is still in Canada. He has not left.
Hopefully they don't make him sell laptops to leave.
Oh wow. Waited till Rock left for that. That was too late.
There, by the grace of God, go I.
Rock had some laptops for sale last year. Hey, coming up
next. They went fast.
Yeah, they did go fast. Totally Radley. And how much better has Adley Rutschman been of late? We will tell you next here on The Fan.
Drive toward the inner part of the plate. Base hit to right field for Adley Rutschman. Puts two on with nobody out.
Adley last night did get a hit in his last at-bat. The first three at-bats, though, he was out on six pitches. It was not a lot of patience there from Adley Rutschman. He had gotten himself going a little bit of late, but Jason, you took a deep dive into the numbers. What are you seeing?
There's
with
a few things that are troubling. Now, look, he's got a 5.28 OPS his last 30 games, which is obviously brutal. Last seven games, he does have six runs driven in and a 7.42 OPS. I don't know if the hand was bothering him or what, but the approach by and large has been better. But we're now deep into this season, and there's three things that stand out to me if you compare him last year to this year. And two of them relate to the quality of at-bat, where last year he was one of the toughest at-bats in the league. He was in the 91st percentile in walk rate and the 81st percentile in chase rate. He wasn't getting himself out, and he would let you walk him. This year, he's in the 51st percentile in chase rate. So he went from elite of the elite to barely league average. And his walk rate is down to 53%. So he is getting himself out way more. And then defensively, we talked about this. Blocking, he's elite. The rest of it has been a struggle. Last year, StatCast had him in the 88th percentile overall in fielding run value, which takes everything a catcher does in his totality. Framing, blocking, throwing runners out, right? 88th percentile last year. 47th this year. Literally below average. So that's a problem. And if that stuff doesn't improve, let's be real. Not a lot of these guys have slide steps or great moves. Like, if Adley Rutschman isn't an elite catcher in the playoffs, they're not going very far. And I don't know that I can absolutely tell you that he is going to be that in the playoffs, because the defense has been an issue all year. He hasn't hit when he's caught all year. The power really has only been against lefties. So there's some reason for concern.
There's definitely reason for some concern, because you can go back even further, Jason. The 35 games, 564 OPS. Now, of late, like you were saying, it looked like he was getting out of it. Last night was not pretty. I mean, he's been hitting some hard hit balls right
at guys.
He's
had some bad luck.
175 batting average with balls in play. But you mentioned him struggling as against right-handed pitching. I mean, he's got a 658 OPS against right-handed pitching compared to 978 against left-handed pitching. And really, the fielding run value, Jason, I think is even more extreme, because he is elite, you know, blocking. But,
yeah.
I mean, the framing, the pop time, the caught stealing, it's really below average.
Yeah, it's been disappointing, because we were talking about this off the air. It seems like just yesterday we were talking about Adley Rutschman as an MVP candidate. And
around Memorial Day, I think we were saying he would be in the top 10. Maybe.
Yeah.
Dude, he was hitting like 440 or 450 against lefties.
Yeah.
I mean, it was ridiculous.
And since then, it's kind of, he had a horrible month of July, and looks like he had started to get out of it. And then last night, as I said, not great at bats. He did get the single in the last at bat, but I would love to see him start to hit some more balls. Was fourth. Obviously, it won't happen tonight because he's off.
Well, and I can't remember if this was on air or off air, but we were mentioning that he only saw six pitches last night. First 2 years in the league, he saw 4.25 pitches per at bat, per plate appearance. This year, it's down to 4.25 of a pitch. Might not sound like much, but it's pretty significant. And the league average is 3.9. So that's another area where he's regressed from being top 70, top 75%-ish in making a pitcher work, to now, in a year where he is chasing more and he's not as willing to walk, you know, he probably needs to see more pitches than he's seeing. He's hitting the ball in the air a whole lot more than he did last year, and I think that showed up in the increased home run totals. But, I mean, we're now going on a couple of months where he hasn't really been himself. And I do wonder if something's physically wrong with him. Mm. And Gunner's been better, but not the Gunner of the first half. And if these two guys aren't playing like dudes who garner, in Gunner's case, top five MVP votes, in Adley's case, top 25 MVP votes, then again, this team ain't going nowhere.
Something that we have been seeing, though, since the All-Star break, that first series in Texas, part of this because of the injury, but he's only DH'd once. I mean, yeah. And that obviously...
Well, now that Eloy's here...
Yeah. That's true.
And
as
they've
well.
Had some days off.
Yeah.
And, let's be real. He's not DHing in the playoffs.
No.
If that happens, then we're kind of like waving the white flag. Then something's really, really wrong here. So
he's got to
hit when he catches.
Yeah. No, he absolutely does. And hopefully, you know, it's interesting. You were talking about Adley, Gunner, and of course, the third guy that carried them was Westbrook. Westbrook's hurt. Adley has been in a funk. And Gunner, while being better of late, he's not the MVP form we saw before the All-Star break.
He's only got the one home run since the
break. I mean, right now it's three guys. It's Santander, Kalzer, and Holiday.
Yeah.
That's what it is right now, and you're getting a little something-something out of Gunner and a little something-something out of Adley. O'Hearn sprinkled in.
Yeah. Well, hopefully it gets started again tonight. Remember, Baltimore baseball tonight is at 6 o'clock. That's T-Bone and Jim Hunter. Coming up next, though... The return. It's been a while.
Been
vacations
a long time.
And other things. Bounce back, fall back. Next here on The Fan.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.